Just to give you an outline, I'm part-time and I'm in my second year, so that's like the end of my first year. And to give you just a quick context of my research project, it's in contemporary drawing, obviously, and it's utilisation of installation practices. Within contemporary drawing practice, which includes my own, increasingly display, presentation, site, sighting, and placement are being used as integral components of the work. My research recognises the complexity of these interrelations and connections between these two practices, as well as the drawing installation viewer participant relationship and the artist maker exhibition maker relationship. These relationships continually change in the different contexts of specific sites of exhibition, also in why, the concept, and how each installation is made or assembled, and how this includes the viewers and participants. That's something I'm researching, whether they're called viewers or participants or anything else. Just what is the relationship between these two artistic forms? My research is exploring the likelihood of common elements, highlighting immediacy, intimacy, and first-hand experience, multi-perspectivalism, elucidation of meaning through pre-association, viewer participation as inclusivity, a democratic experience, and viewer as the centred subject. Both disciplines appear to have qualities in common, for example, incompleteness, open-endedness, and speculativeness, and common experiences of uncertainty, anxiety, and instability for the viewer on viewing or participating in the work. I'm showing slides of an installation completed recently and included in a group exhibition in the Cafe Gallery, Suffolk Park, in April of this year. The drawing is of printed letters cut out of newspapers, using different, I would call, traditional drawing materials, also appropriated materials from constructional drawings, say geometry, with conventional display tropes, framing, and hanging, and using familiar objects as containers or holders. Here the drawing is observational, illusionistic, representational and mimetic, involving the use of perspective. And I haven't really had a chance, because I whacked straight from this into my residency, to sort of really look at, what I can speculate at the moment is what the installation is about, which is an assemblage with movement to and from, optically led. And again, I think it's got qualities of illusion and perspective, but there's lots of other things going on, and that's something I've got to really look at. To explore these complex relations, in my recent residency in the Centre for Drawing, I chose the concept of the Toulousian fold, as it seemed a way to offer a way of conceptualising these relations and their operational materiality. My research question for this residency was an inquiry into Michel Foucault and Gilles Deleuze's notion of the fold as an operative concept. Could it be a viable means for understanding, describing, examining the geography of the drawing installation experience? Why materiality? Because it operates as an as or an of, and about present. Is of experience and actuality. Reading Deleuze's fold placed me in a realm of maelstrom thought. I found it very, very complicated and complex. And somehow making it material through artistic practice seemed a way forward to developing an understanding, since my question was about its operative abilities in artistic practice. Deleuze states that there are many thresholds of knowledge, and they are in fact only practices, one being the non-discursive practices of disabilities. So my residency became a time for the practices of disabilities in order to materialise my conceptualisations, as well as testing its capabilities in relation to my research question. Besides, Deleuze uses the materiality of things to describe, make apparent his thinking. I would say this was drawing, these are lines imposed into paper. The infinite fold separates and moves between matter and soul, this is Deleuze's writing, the facade and the closed room, the outside and inside. Drawing within this residency is the thought, the conceptualising of the Deleuzean fold, made material in the paper in the line. It could be described as drawing in space, the floor and walls becoming surfaces or lines of thought, speculative, open-ended, positional, and therefore forever incomplete, in a state of conceiving. It could be described as an act of scrutiny of the invisible space relations and their fluctuations, conceived and openly on display. I was just about to mention you. Avis Newman, in The Stage of Drawing, Gesture and Act, publication, speaks of the drawing as elemental in both material and action. The action of the moment, she says, is acted out rather than performed. She continues that in essence, it is the materialization of a continually mutable process and partially comprehended ruminations of the mind. This was my intention, to act out in order to conceptualize using the modest material means of drawing, making my own moments of confusion partial thoughts self-evident. Within the second half of the residency, in the conventional sense, these drawings were made that assisted the development of one of the elements in the final installation, but were not included because they operated in a different space. More interception, I think, for the viewer. Again, I need to really, it's something I'm still inquiring into and thinking about. They were an endeavour to explore the twist movement and tension and the notion of balance not manifesting in the work and intrinsic of the Deleuzean fold. What developed from them was a twist of plastic sheeting going from floor to ceiling, giving an illusion of a continuous sinuous line and conjoining below and above, again intrinsic to the Deleuzean fold. Drawing has the capacity to make something look real or natural. E.H. Gombrich's convincing depiction and what he described as the convincing representation of illusion of art, or the plausible rendering of visual effects that create the illusion of lifelikeness. The philosopher Patrick Maynard critiques this in his book Drawing in Distinctions and writes of the beholder's share, or the beholder's collaboration and their experience of visual recognition. In other words, what one sees could be called the object's visual form or rather its shape, and that the beholder sees a resemblance or a likeness to something or things. The making of these drawings was not to do with this illusionistic capability, although they may provide an illusion for the viewer, nor were they intended to be naturalistic or realistic. It became haptic, and I'll explain this a little just further on. Eyes half closed, because when the optic dominated, the line as form dominated. With eyes half closed and defocused, the drawing act could materialise the concept without the form dominating. In Deleuze and Felix Guattari's chapter in Thousand Plateaus, called The Smooth and Striated, they developed their aesthetic model of nomad art and elaborated on their concepts of haptic, smooth and striated space. What follows are two quotes from their writings that impacted on their thinking. First, close range vision as distinguished from optical space. Haptic is a better word than tactile, since it does not establish an opposition between two sense organs, but rather invites the assumption that the eye itself can fulfill this non-optical function. Where there is close vision, space is not visual, or rather the eye itself is a haptic, non-optical function. No line separates earth from sky, which are of the same substance. There is neither horizon, nor background, nor perspective, nor limit, nor outline, nor form, nor centre. So, as in the first work, the optical can be utilised to lead the viewer into the drawing installation. One primarily looking, involving many points of view, perspectives, and possibly perception. Again, I've still got to really dig into that one. The dynamic of the movement might be one of the viewer moving from, between, and to the assembled elements of the installation. If the haptic, non-optical, becomes the principal function of the viewer's eye, then could they be termed in viewer or participator? And could could they be invited to move through the installation in terms of the second work, not as to and from or between, but as in and of the space? Is this multiple points of view or multi-perspectivalism, or a form of inclusivity? And this is where I'm at the moment. But I also think Deleuze and Guattari's, I've got to do more reading to do with their notions of the abstract and concrete line and other forms of line as well. So I think that will help too, particularly on the drawing. So,
you know, Colin, your, you know, particularly the work you've shown, the metal like paper, mm-hmm. it was folded when you said it.
Yes,
this is a drawing. These are lines that are enfolded into material.
Yes.
When you say this is a drawing, does this exclude you calling it a sculpture?
No. And it could be called a model.
Or a model, or a piece of installation.
It isn't. I mean, I would classify. I mean, it's not a concept. It was part of the conceptualizing, but it ended up as a model, and I've been, you know, going into that in more detail because that was my concern. A lot of people in terms of the Deleuzean world, because of their want to understand it, because it's such a complicated and complex notion and a cluster of notions in terms of Deleuze, that they go down into these forms and models like paper folding. And it's used in the design quite a lot like that, but it's a way of conceptualizing, it's an approach to, but often ending, well, usually resulting in models, which is not the Deleuzean fold. It's a way of arriving at a design.
But it is the. I think when you were describing that particular piece, did you say something about light free forms with three dimensional forms with lines imposed on them?
Yeah.
So the drawing is somehow kind of located upon that object.
Yes.
But it's not the object itself, in a sense. It is.
It's part of the object, but it isn't the object. No.
But the 3D form derives its kind of characteristics from the imposition of the drawing. Mm. So it's the drawing modifies the form.
Yeah, yes. And in terms of that, if I relate it to the Deleuzean fold, which is about a return, I would say that a piece of paper with imposed lines like that can only be a retrieval. It's a repossession of a flat, plain surface, but it's not a return in terms of the Deleuzean meaning or. So, yeah.
But you see that as a process of delineation in that sense. But the following to me, the idea of a 3D form lines imposed upon them and the kind of planar, where the edges aren't edges as such, mm-hmm. involved, but they are where two planes
meet.
Kind of meet.
Meet or divide, or, yes.
You know, I can almost see. You're drawing, you know, in the virtual space where you have the possibility to flip that plane into a third dimension and yet add another line, another fold,
yes.
and take another plane.
Yes.
You know, it's
which in terms of the paper, one's limited by the edge of the paper.
Mm.
Right.
And so you have the limitations of that, and in terms of the Deleuzean fold you do not. It is limitless. And it's multiplicity and continuous and infinite.
Mm.
So yes.
The problem I had is if I'd seen this and not had been primed that it was about Deleuze, you know, I would connect it with a long, again, you know, sort of going back to Hans Arp and Gabo and numerous constructivists and different type of people, and Soloway made drawings by folding paper like that. There's a long. I don't see why this is what specifically. Your theory attached, what makes it special out of that context? What's the ingredient you add to it that you couldn't say this about any other folded paper?
I would say the concept behind, and I mean the whole purpose of, not this, but the other piece, was about basically manifesting and understanding this concept. That is the only difference.
So it's like illustrating it?
No, it wasn't. It was about materialising it.
What's the difference?
Wow, that's a good question. But
you're testing, you're not illustrating.
No,
I'm just testing
it out and trying, yeah.
Theory through practice.
Yeah, I would, this is, yes. Thank you.
So if you're testing it, when would you, what is a test you apply? How do you know that it works or doesn't?
My test, in terms of myself, and that's all I can say, is how has my understanding increased?
Or where will it lead you? You know, where do you go next? That's part of it, I think. You know, if a test is successful or not successful, you can maybe only later tell, you know, when you have a series of tests done with the theory. You know, when it comes to sequence of testing out. It doesn't mean a failure of the test is not successful, leading you somewhere else.
Yeah. I mean, what ended up was what I ended up with, I suppose. And that's why I'm kind of aware now that there are other aspects that need to be further looked into. And now I've also got a tool that I can use reflectively back on other areas of my practice to understand more about whether I was working very much expecting an optically led viewer within that, or whether in terms of the other piece it was much more and was made haptically. And so now I can go back to other times when I have constructed something and realise that times I've worked optically, times I've just worked haptically.
Just to be clear, when you showed this slide, the pictures of the installation, you talked about illusion, it wasn't like one of these things where everything's made of cardboard or something, it was what you saw was what you got, there was nothing illusionist, you got the products there.
No.
Okay, it was all literal.
That's what I mean by the materials and materialisation. I wanted it to be there.
Okay.
It seemed important to have it there in order to understand. Yes.
Something is a slightly oblique comment that responds to James's question about the installation and could it have been a sort of constructed as well. And I think it's a very interesting point about interpretation and what we project onto something, what meanings we project. And personally, I don't think that could have been a constructivist installation, because the premise of constructivism is essentially that, and it's dealing with sort of a math, a geometry, it's dealing with the concretization of things in a particular way. And there's a, let's say there's a sort of there's a sort of geometry involved. Now, it seems to me that what we were looking at was antithetical to that, because the paper was actually doing what paper does. Sort of rolls. So there was a sort of phenomenological aspect to it that wouldn't have been constructivist. And I know you're going to come back.
No. I was actually just confused.
But so that's one thing. The other thing is, how do we know that those ideas are invested in it? And that's a very interesting one, isn't it? Do we need knowledge before the event, or do we need to understand something in a context because of an association to something else? And I would connect that installation more to the notion of anthropology than the notion of constructivism. But I think that's a very interesting and problematic. And the idea of illustration or example or model or something like that, I think is an eternally you know, it's the sort of devil on your shoulder when it comes to research. Yeah.
But don't you think if this rogue has been growing out of an investigation against a theory or with a theory,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't mean it's only holding that. So if I come to the installation and see the work, and I don't know about university and anxiety, I still can read the piece. I still can make something with this work.
And also,
so besides this being an investigation for a PhD, it might still be seen outside that investigation.
Absolutely, I totally agree. It's a work in itself. And what one would hope is that the elements in that work that trigger the imagination of the viewer correspond in some way to the internal references. So one doesn't get it literally, but one gets a series of associations and evocations that take it back into a mental experience. So I would say I totally agree, and that's how it works. And a good piece of work is a good piece of work. Yeah.
And I think also, you know, if you're working with installation and you happen to use an optical sense and the installation is meant to be walked through and be off and in, you've got a problematic immediately because the person, you're not walking through it, you're not in it, not of it.
But we always have the problem of documentation.
Yeah.
If you were in space,
absolutely.
Site specifically, in your books, that you have a shot of something that needs to be experienced. But
yes, but I think it's going to be more problematic if you're working within. I think it's less problematic, it still is, but visually or optically led.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're working in the sense where it's a kind of non optical sense, then.
Yes. I want to come back to your notion of the tactile that is not haptic.
Yeah.
Or the haptic that is not
tactile.
You could maybe expand a little bit there.
Well, it's in the sense that Deleuze talks about it in terms of being other place, local. There isn't perspective and there isn't distance, and you don't see delineations of horizons and sky, you're just there. And there's an expansion of you. It's not an extension, it's more, well, I see, I understand it more as an expansion of you and the way you are going out into that space. In an expansive sense rather than in an optical sense. So that hence when I was working with those.
So it's a sort of construct, isn't it? It's rather than experiential, it's actually.
It's letting go of sight. You're still, I mean, that kind of piercing sight and scrutinization and almost defocusing, not quite, you're not focusing. I don't know, I mean, it's something that I do experience quite a lot. And that's why I was saying about those drawings in particular. I noticed that I couldn't work in that gestural drawing way with my eyes focusing. It just didn't happen because the form dominated.
So you kind of just.
So the gesture came out of the haptic.
Is that a kind of demotion of sight?
Yeah.
But still to retain.
Still retaining.
Retained.
Yeah.
And then. Seen on a kind of an equal footing with the other senses that will give you an idea of location.
Right.
Yes, placement. Yeah.
This unfocus or other focus, perhaps, is a better way of putting it. It's quite interesting. It reminds me how people find paths at night time, or how they find their way through a thick forest. Is you don't stare and look for something. You cast your eyes about on the horizon, and then that thing will come into your understanding. And that's sort of what you're.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yeah. So it's very much like that.
And it's very much to do with your own physicality related to that work.
Yeah.
Where
your orientation,
yeah.
Your placement, your location. We use location. Yeah.
Mm.
So you have a more awareness of things around all of
a phenomenological awareness, or not?
Yeah.
Just, yes. So you, by blurring your vision, you actually heighten the other senses in you.
Mm. It's,
or you, you turn on the other senses.
It's interesting to think of that in relation to the virtual, as it were, in a sense of how one, or where are the way markers for the kind of bodily awareness or sense of locating oneself in relation to, you know, a space and virtual spaces and kind of, you know, the, or the equivalent of conjuring up that kind of experience.
Yeah.
But
no,
given
to
make that somehow active, that you could utilise it, in a kind of virtual setting. Yeah.
Mm. Have you thought, I mean, if that's your interest, have you thought of just using sound or something, so you just close your eyes and listen to a space and you really have that sensation?
Yes. Yeah.
You done that
all? Yes. But it's something that is of interest at the moment, I have to say, but it's part of a much larger, you know, just for today, I want to focus on something that's recently kind of heighten my awareness or being pertinent and significant. It's very much part of a larger project.
I think the problem I have with what you showed is that all the triggers that go off when I see that were to do with, you know, it's a very familiar way of kind of installation, and you think about how this compares with other installations or that you see, rather than the ideas you said.
Yeah, which is what Davis was talking about, problems of interpretation.
But there is always that kind of responsibility when encountering a work of art to encounter it and treat it on its own terms and what it presents you with. And one has to, I don't know, I find it quite often quite important to forego my knowledge of references in order to gain a sense of what the work is actually trying to communicate, rather than my kind of art historical knowledge of previous works, because one wants, you know,
something new.
To,
no, I'm not saying
to confront the work, and that's, and I think that's, you know, that's absolutely fine. Perfectly.
Is this a good moment to?
Yeah.
No, it's just that because you talked about work in its own right, and you talked about, you know, a good piece of work being a good piece of work. I just wonder how that ties in with research. I mean, what about the bank piece of work, and what about the research? Because, I mean, this thing of Foucault, I mean, these are researches, aren't they? I mean,
yes,
good or bad, you know, it's an issue whether...
Well, that's why I said it. And, of course, a bad piece of work can be a good piece of research.
Mm.
And this is part of the reality of what you do.
But then, in that case, we're not looking at the world in terms of good or bad, or even in terms of foregoing anything, really. It is just looking at it in relation to, not just, it's just looking at it in relation to the research, which seems to be quite different. It seems to be quite different and bring other issues, rather whether these references installation or that seems to be a fairly periphery issue, actually, in relation to the research, seems to me.
I think that relates to the point I was making about items of knowledge. If it's fruitful in terms of items of knowledge, then it's a successful piece of research, whether it's regarded as a good or bad piece of work. Yeah.
But as artists, of course, you're trying to do both.
Yeah.
I mean, as artists, there's the desires to make good pieces of work, because that's what artists do desire. And then you have to start thinking about goodness and how constitutive.
But you have to experience badness too, don't you?
Without them.
Yeah, I've got no problem
with that.
Go
along with you with that. Yeah.
Well, yeah, my experience is often to have done what is a bad thing into something good. I mean, the art is constantly kind of working with, you know, how can I turn this around?
Or make something good bad, I mean,
that's a real ambition.
Yeah.
Just a good ambition.
But the thing that I find valuable in terms of this as a research are the things it makes available to me as another, as a practitioner and another researcher. They're just immediately things in there that are useful. They just automatically just become very useful. And that's,
well, it was just to give a sort of sketch of, especially the immediate things, and I think they're going to be quite significant for my project, but as a reflective tool as well as understanding making. So I think there's a difference between making and installing, and then viewer.